Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the No Silicast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. Today is Sunday, January 13th, 2008, and this is show number 130. Well, I finally broke down and decided I'm going to go to Macworld after all. I wasn't going to go, but all of my Mac podcaster buddies are going to go and they're going to meet up there. Well, I shouldn't say all. Unfortunately, Steve Stanger and Tim Verporten are not going to be there. But they were really putting the pressure on me, and I was doing pretty good. I was holding off. But then David Sparks of MacSparky.com just kept up this Chinese water torture, kept asking me every couple of days, so have you made your plane reservations yet? You know, just tiny little pings like that. And finally, I just buckled down and said, I'll go. Well, anyway, I'm not going early. I'll be in the comfort of my own office watching the Mac Rumors update with everyone else. But I'm going to go up at the crack of doom, as my father was fond of saying, on Thursday morning, run around the show floor on Thursday, and then I'm going to go out to the Mac Podcasters meetup that night. That's really what I'm going for, because I want to meet all my buddies that I talk to all the time. If you're going to the show and you're going to be there, I really would love to meet you over at the meetup. I think that'd be really cool. It sounds like a lot of fun. Well, let's get down to business. Last week in my review of Rapido Write, I mentioned that it only works in Cocoa applications, and I explained that I can never keep track of which one is which and why I care. Luckily for us, we have a brilliant audience who always comes to our rescue when your host is clueless. Here's an email from Martin in Germany that clears up the confusion. Hey Allison, I am just on the road again listening to your podcast. Just a quick notice. Carbon is the framework from the OS 9 days. Cocoa is the OS 10 framework for building the GUI. Safari and iTunes are sort of standalone as they're ported to Windows. Seems that is the reason. Talk to you later, Martin. Well, thanks, Martin. I think I get it. But I'm not sure, because they said it only worked in Cocoa applications, so why wouldn't they have built Safari and iTunes in Cocoa, except that they're ported over the others? Well, anyway, I don't promise to remember which one is which, but maybe this clarified it for somebody else. Well, speaking of our brilliant audience helping me out, last week when Bart and I were talking about our new lens, I referred to it as a fixed focus lens. But even when I said it, I knew there was something wrong with that. I knew there was something about fixed focus, but it's something like that. But I didn't think that was quite right, because I know it's an autofocus lens, meaning you can focus all kinds of different distances. So how could it only focus at one distance? Anyway, I couldn't think of the right word. Luckily, Drew wrote in on the comments the following. Very impressive photos from your new lens. Just thought I'd mention that you probably meant fixed focal length and not fixed focus when you're describing your new lens. This type of lens is also referred to as prime. That's exactly what I meant, Drew. I knew I was close. Well, anyway, Drew went on to say, also, I agree, YouTube video quality is the pits. The one good thing about YouTube is that it has fast load times for viewers with slow connections. I prefer Vimeo.com myself. Their quality is much better. Well, thanks, Drew. I'll check out Vimeo. Daniel also wrote in on the comments, too, about video upload sites. He suggested both Stage6.com, and that's the number 6, and Veoh.com, V-E-O-H.com. Looks like we have a lot of great options available to us now. For uploading, I think it's great to have a lot of options, but I'm wondering about how this is going to work to find good videos, though. Used to be you could just count on you go over to YouTube, you could find what you want. But if people start putting them all these other places, how are we going to find them? Maybe we're going to end up with a video-specific search engine that just says, okay, find this video. I don't care where it is, but just go find it for me. Yeah, I'm sure Google's working on it. Well, 2 weeks ago, you had a homework assignment to find people in Vermont and Montana. And between Anthony and three unknown listeners, you came through like champs. This week's assignment was to get Alaska into the program. And Scott wrote in with this task completion. Allison, I don't know if you can say that I took on your homework assignment because I inadvertently completed this task a day before your 2008-01-06 podcast was released. On January 4th, 5th, 2008, I was actually in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm an avid listener from Minneapolis, Minnesota, just passing through Anchorage for work. Thanks for the great podcast. Have a great year, Scott. Well, that's very cool of you to write, Scott. I'm glad you like the show. I think he not only gets credit, he gets extra credit. He did the assignment before I even thought to give it out to you guys. That's amazing. Well, we do still need someone to call in from Alaska to check the show notes or download the show because we still aren't showing any actual hits from Alaska this month. Who's Game? Now, you don't actually have to know anyone in Alaska. You could just do some creative searching on the web, find a company located there, and see if you can find someone fun there to contact and get them to check it out. I'm going to give our final homework, our this week's homework assignment at the end of the show, by the way. Well, listener Tim wrote in with an interesting question. Allison, love the show, don't miss any. I have a problem with importing something into iTunes. I subscribe to a video podcast called Pixel Perfect, and sometimes it takes me a while to catch up on the old episodes. I noticed that a few old ones didn't download completely, and those I need so I need to re-download them. iTunes only has the last 20 episodes or something. The one I need is older than that. So I go to the revision site and download the QuickTime version. The problem lies here. When I import the video, it goes into my movies section and not into the Pixel Perfect podcast section. How do I get it to the place I wanted? Thanks again, Tim. I thought I'd try the obvious stuff first, just like, you know, setting the genre to podcast, but of course that didn't work. Tim would have thought of that. I did some research, and you can't believe how hard this actually is to do. Get this. First, you have to download a script called Atomic Parsley. It's in SourceForge at atomicparsley.sourceforge.net. It does way more than mess with the podcast part, but it's really geeky and hacky to work with. You run the script in the terminal with a command like this. You type in the path / atomic parsley, then the path to your MP4 file. You follow that by two dashes and the word podcast flag / true, then two dashes stick, that's STIK, / quote movie, another / two dashes, the word podcast URL / and then you put your podcast URL in quotes. I've got it all in the show notes. I don't expect you to follow that, but I wanted you to get a feel for how long this thing is. After you set the podcast flag to true with that command and the stick to movie, whatever stick to movie means, and set that podcast URL, it makes a copy of the original file with a new name sitting in the same directory. Then you can drag that file into your iTunes library and it will go automatically into the podcast library. The bad news is that it doesn't join up with your other podcast by the same author. They just become sort of a duplicate podcast, but with different episodes. It's not ideal, but Tim seemed happy enough that it got him far enough in that he was happy. So that's good. Pretty geeky thing, though. Well, speaking of geeky, what a weird little geek family we are. I guess I better start at the beginning of this story, but remind me to come back to that statement. A terrible tragedy struck the Sheridan household on Tuesday night. Our Series 3 TiVo died. Well, it didn't exactly die. It was on life support. It would come up with menus, but not let us pick anything. Unplugging it made it less happy. It wouldn't even come up with the menus. I remembered Leo Laporte talking about a company called weakknees.com on his show way back, I think during the screensavers. So I checked out their troubleshooting site. They said in their troubleshooting that it was pretty likely it was a bad hard drive. They did mention something about what if you've had, like, I don't know, a thunderstorm, big power outage recently? Remember New Year's? Well, anyway, the good news is they sell a completely formatted TiVo drive, 250 gig for $159. That's the same size as the one I have in my TiVo. This was risky because we weren't sure it was the drive, but they allayed that fear by their explanation on the site that if it turns out to not be the drive, you can return it for a 15% restocking fee. I thought that was pretty fair. So late on Tuesday night, I bought the drive and happily noticed that ground shipping was free. Yay! Gotta love little things. But get this, I got the drive on Thursday. Seriously, less than 48 hours later, it was in my hot little hands. So remember me saying at the beginning that we were a weird little geek family? Well, this is my life. Steve says, "Oh, I'll be glad to replace the drive, honey." I said, "No way! I paid for it. I'm putting in the drive." Well, you see, it was Taco Bell Thursday, you know, so I suggested that he go get the Taco Bell this week instead of me so that I would have more time to work on replacing the drive. He suggested that maybe he could get the drive out of the box for me, get the screwdrivers, maybe even open the box, open the TiVo, to which I suggested that if he transferred me $159 to my bank account, he could do just that. He said for $159, he should be allowed to install the drive, not just look at it. Anyway, I won't drag you through all of the details of our negotiations, but I couldn't help but laugh at what dorks we are fighting over who gets to replace the drive in our TiVo. I won, of course. Oh, and I should say that we share all our money, so it's just a big joke when we talk about moving money around anyway. The best news is that the hard drive replacement worked flawlessly and we're back in business. I sure can give Weak Knees a huge star of approval. Could not have asked for better service. They even answered an email from me in just a few hours back on Tuesday. I got to tell you, you know, the price seemed fair, maybe a little bit high, but, you know, for when you're desperate for your TiVo, it didn't seem that bad, and the terms were definitely fair. If you have any TiVo problems, I would not hesitate in having you call them. All right, if you're an Uber geek, you probably want to buy the drive, install it in another machine, load the software on it yourself, reformat it, you know, you probably want to go that route. But if you don't want that much trouble, Weak Knees certainly was a good idea. Well, while I was waiting that entire two horrible days for the TiVo drive, I realized that I had missed seeing the Desperate Housewives episode where we find out if the children buried under the house during the tornado will survive. Spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Anyway, I remembered that ABC posts their shows online, so I decided to head over there and see how their offering is. I thought I'd give you my views on that experience. I was delighted when I went there and it said, Mac users, download here. That was nice to see. Well, I first brought this the episode up on my laptop, and I put it in full screen mode, which worked great. But then I decided, what am I doing looking at my little laptop? I got a big TV right there, and I, with only, you know, 25 minutes of digging through cables, I found my DVI cables and an audio cable and got them plugged into the back of the TV. So anyway, when I plugged the laptop into the big TV via DVI, the full screen mode kind of slopped from one screen to the other, even when I switched from screen spanning into mirrored mode. Oh well, it kind of had big white borders around it, but it looked okay. At least it was bigger than looking at it on the laptop. Now, they do have commercials, but they do them in an interesting way. They have a timeline along the bottom, and there's a red hash mark that shows you when the show is going to pause automatically for a commercial. It's kind of a nice feature, so you know when you'll be able to get up and go make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The drag was that when it was done with the commercial, you had to click continue with your mouse. Well, in the peanut butter sandwich scenario, that's not a bad idea because, you know, you want to wait to push continue until you get back to the TV. But in my case, it meant I had to get up off the couch, walk over to the TV, get down on the floor, move the mouse, and hit continue. Not exactly the way I would have picked to do it. Finally, even though it was downloaded way ahead of where I was watching, it still broke up from time to time. You know, I had little pauses that were mildly annoying. Not sure why that was, but overall, I'm thrilled that they do this so I could still watch the show. The commercials aren't bad at all. And oh yes, the kids get out okay after the tornado. I didn't want you to worry. Well, Steve and I did some major home improvements to our house over the holidays, mostly in the realm of new appliances. We replaced our 17-year-old oven and microwave. Did you know that popcorn can be microwaved in less than 6 minutes? Well, I didn't know that because at our house it takes more than 6 minutes. That was a bad day when I went to work, threw the popcorn in and left it for 6 minutes and came back. People did not like me. Well, anyway, we decided it was time for that new microwave oven. And what the heck, we got a whole oven with it. I put pictures in the show notes. They're kind of dumb pictures. I don't know if you want to go look. But anyway, we also had a circa 1990 intercom system that had seen better days. The main control unit would only buzz when you pushed the intercom button, and we could barely hear our doorbell. I can't believe how lucky we got on the replacement for it, though. The original model was a Newtone Model 3003. Turns out Newtone's still in business, even though they've been bought by Braun, but they make a new model called the 3033. So it turns out it fit in the exact same hole without modification. Well, Steve had some trouble yanking out some of the old parts to put in the new parts, but anyway, our doorbell circuit module was able to fit right into the new one, no rewiring at all. So anyway, we were able to, I let Steve do this one. Anyway, he replaced all of our intercom units and oh, they look so nice. The pictures of that are pretty amazing. The difference looks pretty good. Well, I know, okay, normal human beings do upgrades like this all the time, but for some reason, we just didn't do any upgrades to our house for like 17 years. So we're really excited about it. Well, the reason I'm telling you all of this is because of the fun I had throwing away the old intercom. Being a good green citizen, I knew that I couldn't just throw away these circuit board-filled lead and mercury-based piles of junk, right? Well, unfortunately, the Electronic Waste Center was closed recently in our neighborhood, so I had to go online to find another one. Luckily, only about 7 miles away is the Hyperion Waste Plant, and they have an e-waste facility. I was dubious, and I didn't really want to drive that far, and it was raining, but don't worry, I took Kyle's car because my car was still clean. So I drove there, and I was greeted by very nice people who showed me how to drive through this little building and they took my e-waste out of the trunk for me. I was about ready to drive out when I looked over to my left and I noticed a little shrine, a little museum of really cool old stuff. Like a 1960s era chemistry set and an old vacuum cleaner. Anyway, it was marvelous how they displayed all of these treasures that they'd rescued out of the trash. Well, I was fascinated by the care they'd taken, and I asked if I might be permitted to take some photos. Right before I left, I'd thrown in my good camera with a new lens, and Kyle had said, "Why are you bringing your camera to the dump?" I said, "Well, I don't know. You just never know when something cool might show up." I was rewarded for that forethought. Anyway, my new friend Cece came out, and she started showing me around. She was very proud of the things that they found. Turned out they had a lot more than this one display area. They had built a whole little living room for themselves with some old couches and chairs and a whole wall of weird old TVs they'd found that were still functioning. There's a picture of those in the show notes too. Cece said she'd always meant to photograph these treasures, so I offered to send her a link to a webpage with my pictures. I can't wait to hear back from her on this. The pictures came out great. I put a link in the show notes to the Hyperion E-Waste Museum. If you click on the picture of the chemistry set, you can see a whole great gallery of all these just awesome old photos. I think you'll get a kick out of it. Well, today I was washing Kyle's 2000 black Honda Accord V6 EX. Yes, he's a spoiled 17-year-old. Hey, I told you I got him an iPhone. You already knew he was spoiled. Well, anyway, then I vacuumed it. Then I tire blacked his tires. And I started thinking about why I do all of this stuff. And why do I have Honda Bob do regular service on our cars? Well, I think it's kind of like taking care of yourself. You know, you bathe, you wash your hair, you slap on enough makeup so you don't scare the neighbors. But you also go get a physical every year and get your teeth cleaned twice a year. The outside is for show, but the inside is to make things last. Without a physical and your teeth cleaned and all that, you might not last very long. Without regular maintenance for your car, doing the whole fluid and fan belt replacement thing, you wouldn't have a car that lasted either. Honda Bob's been taking such great care of our cars all these years, I don't ever even procrastinate to call him when we hit a service milestone. In fact, sometimes we call him up and say, "Bob, isn't it time yet? Don't we need to have you over?" And then he patiently explains to us that Hondas and Acuras don't need all that much attention, and to patiently wait until we've hit the miles to make it necessary to do a checkup. It's one of the things I like about Bob. He'll never tell us we need a repair or a maintenance trip that we don't need, and he'll try to do everything possible to make sure that we never waste our money. If you live in the LA or Orange County area and you'd like to have outstanding, convenient in-home care for your Honda or Acura, give Honda Bob a call at 562-531-2321 or send him an email at hdabob@aol.com. HDA Bob's mobile service is not affiliated with Honda, Acura, or Honda Worldwide. Well, it's time for another episode of Chit Chat Across the Pond with Bart Bouchatz from bartbouchatz.ie. How's this week going, Bart?
Well, apart from the fact that my roof leaked and my heating's broken, it's going just fine.
You do have broadband restored, though?
It's back to what it used to be, poor instead of piss poor.
Well, I guess we're glad to hear about that. I need to tell the audience here that it took Bart and I, an hour and 10 minutes, I think, to get started recording today.
Just 40 minutes, Allison.
Oh, just 40. Okay. I'm off by a long time. I've had trouble with my clock. I think it's not right. But anyway, we had trouble with the mixer adding this bizarre echo to Bart's voice. And so we need to call in Victor and ask him what the heck button I pushed, or maybe the housekeepers dusted and did something funny to it. And then we couldn't keep Skype connected for more than, what was it, about 8 seconds?
Yeah, I think 10 seconds was a record.
So finally we decided that was on my end. We rebooted my computer and it magically got better. Oh, and then we had static on the line because I'd plugged in an external monitor. So I think we've had a few issues today. But in the end game, we went back. This is now the retro show because I'm back on my Samson CO1U until I can figure out where that silly echo is coming from.
And the mixer's been taken out of the equation. And we're back to Wiretap Pro or something instead of something.
Yeah, we were on Wiretap Studio. We tried Audio Hijack Pro, but we got the weird echo on that too, so we decided the mixer was the misbehaving element.
Oh, so we're back to where we started in terms of software, are we?
Yeah, we're back to the beginning. So we actually had a subject to talk about today, though, right?
Yes, actual content. sort of Christmas for us Mac users, isn't it? With Steve Jobs is about to give us all goodies on Tuesday evening.
I love. I heard one podcaster saying that what he does is he just puts his order in a week ahead of time and says, whatever Steve announces, I want like two or three of those. Just put them on order.
Yeah, I usually end up doing that as well, but I do it afterwards. For Steve announced, I want.
Okay, so everybody knows I am not a predictor, not into doing that. But Bart, you wanted to take a shot at what you think is going to happen, right?
Well, it's something I do every year. And I mean, it's nice being an idiot sometimes, so what the heck. This way everyone can say how wrong I was.
So what do you think's going to happen?
Well, I'm going to put my neck on the line straight away and say that I think the keynote is going to be mainly focused on audio, video, goodness, music, movies, that kind of thing.
Not computing, huh?
I think we'll be computing in it, but I think the big stuff, the stuff that's going to grab everyone's attention is going to be video rentals, because I think those reports are true, and I think there's probably more to them I've heard already. I think the Apple TV is about to get a major revamp, and I think it's actually going to become a real product instead of a hobby.
You think he's going to go with a DVR in it?
I don't know how far he's going to go, but I have a feeling that what we've seen now of Apple TV is just the start, and he's going to pull something magic out on Tuesday.
Ah, well, that would be fun. Now, he referred to it in a previous speech at the All Things Digital Conference, I think it was. Or I forget where it was. But anyway, he said that they had three major products, the iPod, the iPhone, and the Macintosh. And then the fourth thing, the Apple TV, was just a hobby.
Yeah, that was a D indeed. But I think that was because he hadn't got the movie studios online yet, and he was just buying for time.
So there's rumors about movie rentals that look like they're pretty certain going to come true, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think they're saying it's with Fox, but I think more studios will come online.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm pretty certain on that one. What else do you think is going to happen?
What else? Well, I think that obviously if there's a whole bunch of new iTunes stuff, I think that it's likely we're going to get a new version of iTunes, and probably that 1.1.3 firmware that's been seen on the web, I think that's probably going to come out as well.
What's that going to do for us?
For the iPod Touch and the iPhone.
But what's it going to do for us?
Well, there was an 8-minute video release on the web of someone who claimed to have a leaked copy, and it did all sorts of stuff like letting you control the icons in your home screen, and things that just made me think, oh, third-party apps are on the way.
Yeah, now, I do have one prediction on third-party apps. I'm really excited they're coming. I'm really excited it's going to be on there, and it's going to be wonderful and everything, but I just have this deep, sick feeling that Steve's going to say, and yes, you will only be able to buy them through the iTunes Music Store for $12 a piece.
Yeah, that's one possibility. What I'm expecting to hear him say is, and to get your stuff on the iPhone, you need to buy a key from Apple. And if your things aren't digitally signed, they ain't going on the iPhone. Therefore, all the free open source stuff is going to have trouble getting their hands on keys.
Yeah.
Certificates, sir.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm sad already. So I hope he doesn't meet my expectations on that one.
Yeah, well, I think he has to, because security-wise, something has to be done, otherwise it is going to be a serious problem.
Yeah, I hate security. So
I hate that we need security.
Yeah, right. So what about this? Everybody's yapping, it's going to be a portable Mac. Do you think that's the ultra-portable Macintosh going to come out?
Yeah, I do. I mean, when they killed the 12-inch, was it PowerBook?
Right.
That just left a giant big hole in their product line, and I just had this feeling there was something coming to fill that hole. But, you know, the sensible part of my brain says it's just going to be a regular ultra-portable. But the not-so-sensible part of my brain thinks, well, imagine if you take an iPod Touch and you scale it up to about A5 size, and you stick in some more power into it, some more RAM into it, you know, then you have a little pad like in Star Trek. Yeah. Then you add in Wi-Fi syncing, so that every time you come and stuff sync from your Mac to your little pad, you work away on them, and then the next time you're home, they sync back up to your Mac.
Oh, that would be interesting. I actually was thinking along these lines, and I keep saying I don't predict, but I guess I was predicting in my head this morning. I was jogging and I was thinking, I just pictured my iPhone getting bigger and how that could be interesting. And I heard it was actually on Windows Weekly with Paul Theriot and Leo Laporte. They were saying it was written up somewhere that the technology in the iPod Touch and the iPhone was actually originally planned for a tablet, and then they thought, hey, it'd be even cooler if we put it into a phone. So they could turn around and go backwards to what they originally were going to do.
Oh, that'd be nice. Well, there has been rumors for God knows how many years that we're getting some form of Mac tablet. I mean, I've been predicting it for years. I'm bound to be right eventually.
If you wait long enough. Now, one thing I don't like about the idea of a tablet, and maybe a tablet that's really a touchscreen makes sense. Somebody was bugging me yesterday saying, you know, you would love a tablet, Allison. A tablet's awesome because you could write by hand instead of typing. And my first thought was, why would I want to do that? I can barely write today by hand. I've lost the ability to write by hand. I can't spell. My hand doesn't perform correctly anymore because I type everything.
Yeah, I'm the same. I can type way, way, way faster than I can write. Having said that, though, there's a friend of mine that has a Windows tablet, one of probably two people on the planet, and he absolutely swears by it because he's a composer, and he writes music on it.
Hmm. But writing music by hand is easy? Easier than with a keyboard or something?
Yeah, he just puts little circles on the... He has, like, a blank sheet that comes up on the screen with the five staves or whatever they're called, and he writes in the notes, and the software recognizes the notes and puts them in correctly, and hey presto, he's writing music.
Well, wouldn't it be easier to type like D and E and C, maybe C sharp? Wouldn't it be easier to type than to draw?
Well, no, because you have the different lengths of notes have little different symbols and stuff, whether it's a line or whether it's a line with a squiggle or whether it's a little hollow circle or a circle.
Yeah.
A line with two squiggles.
That's your musical interpretation right there, huh?
Well, I vaguely remember seeing it, and I used to one day many moons ago know what it was.
Yeah, there's something about four beats for a whole circle. But, I mean, you could have symbols for that. You know, an asterisk means it's a quarter note or something like that. Well, that's good that he, as one of two people, likes his tablet. I don't think I would like a tablet, unless it had a touchscreen keypad.
Apparently, the other great use for them is in meetings because they're much smaller. And so, you normally have a pad in front of you to write notes on, whereas this thing is the same size as a pad, so you'd put it down and write. Apparently, that works very well.
Yeah. I've seen them. They don't do a thing for me. Well, anything else in your list of predictions?
Well, something that intrigued me an awful lot is that for the first time, Apple have booked out a press room in Europe and are streaming the keynote live for the European press.
Ooh.
Now, that, to me, says we're getting some sort of treat. So, it's probably just going to be a list of new countries getting the iPhone. If Ireland's included, I'll be a very happy bunny. But I'm really, really hoping that at long, 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 long last, we're going to get movies and TV shows and all that goodness over here in Europe for a change, because the UK have a little bit of it, but that's it. No one else over here gets to play on that. And I've been predicting that Ireland's going to get this for donkey's years. So, again, I really want to be right eventually.
Did you actually just call yourself a happy bunny?
Well, a potentially happy bunny, should Steve, provide.
Yeah, no, I did not know that you guys don't get TV shows and movies. But, I've downloaded a couple of TV shows from iTunes just when, I forgot to TiVo them up. But I don't know, the whole idea doesn't do too much for me yet.
Well, when I moved into my new house, we didn't get in cable, so we have no television at the moment. And our basic theory was, when the Apple TV has content on it, we'll just pick up one of those and we'll be sorted. And that's ages ago now. We still have no TV.
Well, I think, a lot of people have looked at it and said, well, my cable bill's, $50 a month for all this stuff. If I just bought it a la carte, would it be cheaper? And would I only watch what I really wanted to watch instead of watching drivel sometimes?
Well, there's so much drivel on telly, I actually don't miss the telly because, it's just crap, really.
Yeah, I only watch about three or four shows intentionally, but, when it's there, all of a sudden you turn around and realize you're watching Deal or No Deal, that's brain rot right there, but it's really fun to watch.
Can't say I've ever seen it. My equivalent of brain rot is Top Gear, which is a fantastic BBC show, which is technically about cars, but they just do insane stuff. Well, no, in the last series, they were the first people to drive to the North Pole. They took a Toyota Hilux, stuck on some big tires and an extra fuel tank, and drove to the North Pole.
Just to do it, huh?
Yeah, just to do it.
Well, my favorite example of drivel, I saw the most frightening advertisement for a TV show. I'm having nightmares about the fact that the show even exists. It was three fat guys with... And the show, I don't know what it's called, but they say, you got to remember the four B's: beer, butter, beef, and better remember the cheese. And it's a cooking show, and it's these guys that are like within minutes of having a heart attack, and they're sitting there cooking sausage and butter while they're drinking beer and laying cheese on it. It's just horrifying. It's just like it was cholesterol on a plate, and I'm thinking, you know, this show can't last three seasons because they aren't going to live that long.
Is that like public disservice television?
Oh, I'm thinking. I'm still worried about it. I hope I never access. I should record it and just put a little bit of it up online to horrify everyone. Well, anyway, back to Mac predictions. Anything else on your list?
I'm just going to check through my summary. Well, actually, what I'm really, really hoping for, because I'm a little grumpy now, because Zune has something cool that no iPods do. Zune does Wi-Fi syncing, and I really want my iPod Touch to do Wi-Fi syncing.
So the idea is that when you walked into your house, it would sync up with your iTunes and pick up your latest iCal events and all that sort of stuff?
Exactly. Instead of me having to go look for that stupid little cable, which I've managed to run over with my wheelie chair, and then I had to bend it back into shape with a screwdriver, but it does work.
I seem to grow those on trees. I have them all over the place. I just open a drawer and there's another one in there.
I had to buy one. And
wow.
They're unbelievably expensive.
Wow.
Like to get, well, it was, I wanted a charger for in work, so I wouldn't have to be, I don't want to plug it into my work machine because it's not synced there. So I figured I'll just buy a power adapter and I'll plug it into the little iPod dock thing. The iPod dock was £50. It didn't come with a power thingy. And it cost me £27 or £29 just for a power lead.
Wow. I don't know why I have so many of these things. Maybe because I buy a lot of iPods, they just end up laying around.
Yeah, I only have two because I only ever bought two iPods because my iPods never die. Actually, I better not say that. Now they're going to die.
By the way, you might want to look into exactly how the Zune does sync. I remember hearing something about how it actually has to be sitting in a dock in order to sync wirelessly.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does. Exactly. I got to look it up. I'll go find out some more on that. But I'm pretty sure it does have to be hooked into something in order to do that. It isn't you just walk in your house and it magically syncs up happy.
Well, there I was giving Microsoft more credit than they deserve.
You should have known that was wrong.
Well, that gives Apple a chance to surpass the Zune as it should be and then have the iPod be the best at everything.
There you go. Well, anything else on your list?
Okay, I have my bullet point at the bottom of my blog. iTunes movie rentals, therefore requiring new iTunes and new iPod firmware. Apple TV revamp. They're going to brag about the iPhone, tell us something about the SDK, and then give us the new 1.3. We're going to get a sub-notebook. Probably going to be a MacBook Pro, actually. I doubt it'll be a MacBook. But I'm still hoping for my Star Trek tablet. Let me see. iTunes content for Europe, that's me being wishful again. iPhone for Europe, that's me being hopeful again. And I want my wireless syncing. That's really it, because I don't think there's any big software to come. We've had all that last year.
Yeah, I don't know. He always surprises us, though, so that's always fun.
He's going to surprise us, I'm going to make a mad, insane prediction.
Okay.
Some from iLife will come to Windows if he does something mad.
Ooh, that would be really cool.
And I'm going to put my neck out even further and say that if something comes, it'll be iPhoto.
Now I don't know whether there's a big need for iPhoto though, with Picasa doing such a good job. I would say GarageBand, because there is no equivalent to GarageBand, really.
Apart from Audacity.
Yeah. Okay. So free and open source, if you like that sort of thing, you know.
And well, yeah, I don't really see going to be it'd be one hell of an impressive feat to say iMovie or something to Windows. Although that was recently rewritten from the ground up, so it may have been written in a more Windows-friendly way.
Ooh, now that would definitely be something.
It certainly would, and with the publishing straight to YouTube and stuff, that probably makes as much sense as anything.
Yeah, I might like that better than GarageBand. Okay, so I'm going to change mine too. Let's go both with iMovie and iDVD.
I'm not prepared to think he's going to go as far as iDVD. I think it'd just be iMovie.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you're not a risk taker like me.
Yes, as I sit here predicting iLife for Windows, not at all a risk taker, no.
All right, well, I think we're about out of time here. I appreciate all your patience with my recording snafus. We'll get Victor to figure this out for us, though.
Yeah, Victor knows everything, so Victor will sort you out.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, until next time, happy computing.
Like I mentioned at the beginning of the recording there with Bart, we had a lot of weird problems. We had this strange sort of immediate echo going on in Bart's recording, the recording of Bart's voice. And we were having that problem in Wiretap Studio. So one of our experimental methods was to switch to Audio Hijack Pro, and we thought we had the same problem there. From that experiment, we decided it had to be the mixer itself that had been changed in some way. So we took the mixer completely out of the mix, if you will, and went back to my old USB microphone. But after Bart and I got off the call, I appealed to Victor Cahiao of the Typical Mac User podcast to give me a hand diagnosing the problem. We played with gain control. We played with faders. We played with input volumes. We played with output volumes. We changed cables around to see if it was inside the Mac or in the mixer. We played with the effects bus. We played with the vocal eliminator. We played with the break switch. We played with all of the mute buttons. We played with the MIDI settings. Nothing fixed the problem in Wiretap Studio. Finally, on a lark, we went back into Audio Hijack Pro, and guess what? The problem was not in Audio Hijack Pro. It did not show up there. So evidently, Bart and I hallucinated that part of our experiment, because at this point, Victor and I definitely eliminated the mixer as the root cause. So then Victor figured out what was messing us up. In Wiretap Studio, you set two sources, Source 1 and Source 2. One of them should be line in, and the other one is for Skype. For some reason, I had put Skype as the first source this week and line in as the second source. And I can't exactly explain why this is bad, but evidently that sort of makes the Skype caller's voice feed back on itself, but instantaneously. Not like an echo with a lag in it, but like an echo that happens at the same time at just a different volume. Once we switched to line in as source 1 and Skype as source 2, it completely cleared up. Victor and I had so much fun, we kept playing for about another half hour longer, experimenting on how to set things optimally for my recordings. He's such a great teacher, he gives me just a little bit more information than I could absorb, so that the next time he teaches me something, he repeats that part that was too much for me, but by that time I'm ready to absorb it because I've been using my newfound intelligence from the previous teaching. I really appreciate the time he spent with me, and like I said, it was really, really fun. Well, now I try really hard not to slam Windows too much. I really do. It's kind of an effort sometimes, but, you know, just this week at work, I said something nice about the navigation in Windows. Of course, it was in the context of how that navigation happened to be horked up in Vista, but still, I did say something nice. Well, I try to be good. I really do, but this week, the temptation to be mean is just too strong. Let me explain. I listen pretty regularly to Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Leo Laporte at twit.tv/ww. It's a great show, actually. Really informative. Paul's full-time job is studying and reporting and writing books about Windows. He has a tough job, though, because he's really honest about his assessments, so he sees the good and bad in Windows. What that means is that he gets hate mail from both the Windows fanboys and the Mac fanboys. If he says something nice about Windows, the Mac fanboys get mad. If he says something nice about the Mac or something mean about Windows, then the Windows fanboys get mad at him. Well, Paul is a Windows insider. He has regular meetings with development teams at Microsoft, and so he's really interesting to listen to, and he has a great perspective on, you know, how good the people are, and he kind of really brings home that these are people who are working on these tools. However, in episode 46 of Windows Weekly, he was talking with Leo about the CES Gates keynote and what he thinks about Microsoft right now. He went off on this rant that was amazing. I have to play it for you, but I got to tell you, I cut and spliced three parts together, so it kind of all runs into one long rant, but it's pretty funny that way. But it's not very long, but I just wanted you guys to hear this. It was pretty interesting.
What did you think of Bill Gates' keynote? I mean, did he say anything important?
No.
No, never does.
Listen, Steve Jobs could walk out next week and read us his laundry and list and tell us what he's going to buy at the store that week, and it will be a better keynote than this Gates thing. And it's just different styles. You know, Gates is just not that interesting of a person. And unfortunately, for Microsoft, and I really do feel bad about this, there's just nothing interesting going on. You know, Windows Vista didn't sell as well as they had expected. Microsoft Surface has still not ever happened. The Xbox 360 had a $1 billion warranty hit last year. The Zune doesn't have TV shows or movies. The Media Center extenders that they announced last year have never shipped.
Yeah.
You know, the Xbox IP TV thing they announced last year has never shipped. You know, Windows Vista, as predicted, sold 100 million licenses last year. But even Microsoft admitted that that doesn't mean 100 million people are using it. You know, the number of people using it is probably considerably less than that. That's disgusting. You know, they sold, PC makers sold over 250 million computers last year.
Wow.
Are you seriously telling me that at least 150 million of those people are using XP? Really?
Isn't that a great sound clip? I got to say, there's one thing I disagree with him, and I think he just misspoke. He said Bill Gates is just not that interesting of a person. I think Bill Gates is an interesting person. He just isn't a very interesting speaker. I think that's what he meant. Steve and I got into a discussion on his statistic on how many non-Vista users there are out there. Note that he says 250 million new Windows PCs were sold last year. So when he says 150 million are not using Vista, he's not talking about installed base. I mean, the installed base is like a billion. He's talking about brand new computers were sold. 250 million brand new computers were sold out there, and at least 150 million of those are not running Vista. That really is kind of amazing. Well, all right, enough gloating. I thought it was an interesting rant. He's usually so much more measured and constructive, and I do highly recommend the show. It is very, very interesting. Well, I hope the following won't be too self-serving, but this week I got possibly the nicest fan mail letter I've ever received, and I wanted to share it with you. It's from Steve, and no, I checked. It's not from my husband, Steve, and it's not from Quality Control Director Steve. It's a whole new Steve. Here's his letter. Hi, Allison. I wanted to thank you for creating such a fantastic podcast. You keep me company as I drive across the country in my big rig. I'm sure that you have a number of truckers listening. I've learned so much by listening over the past 2.5 years. I really enjoy your reviews, and I always know what you think about a particular product. You really dig into how things work, and not just a surface glance, and I appreciate the details. You're responsible, along with Tim Verporten, for my application folder being full of great Mac software. The thing I appreciate most is how you incorporate different facets of your life into the show. The segment on photography is the last podcast. In the last podcast was fascinating, and the pictures in your blog were truly incredible. Oh no, another purchase to make, a new lens. It's stuff like that that personalizes the show, and it really keeps it fresh and interesting. I have lots of time to listen to podcasts. There's 77 shows in my iTunes library that I download, but there's only a few I make a special effort to download and listen to each week. The No Silicast is at the top of the list. Thanks for all you do. Best wishes for the new year and happy podcasting. You rock! Thanks, Steve. Well, Steve, that made me feel so good. I really feel like what I'm doing is helping people and entertaining at the same time. I'm glad that my blathering on about jump-starting my husband's car or waxing other people's cars or taking pictures during New Year's is actually entertaining. Thank you so much for writing this. It really made my week. Maybe my month. It also gives me an idea for another homework assignment. I would like to get email from any other truckers who are out there listening to the show. Somebody wants to convert a trucker, that counts too. Anybody else rolling down the highway to my geeky show out there? Well, it looks like I've blathered on enough for 1 week. I've really enjoyed the comments on the blog and the emails. Keep them coming. Thanks. Send them along to allison@podfeet.com and let me know if you find any cool shareware or freeware or gadgets or just comments that you'd like to share. Thanks for listening and stay subscribed.